A million children kidnapped every year. 1 in 12 women will get breast cancer. Your chance of winning the lottery is basically the same whether you buy one ticket or 100. Which of these claims sounds right to you? Here's the unsettling truth. Most of us have no idea. We live in a world drowning in numbers, yet we navigate it with the mathematical intuition of medieval peasants. We proudly declare, "I'm terrible at math," at dinner parties, a confession we'd never make about reading. While this very blindness shapes our fears, our votes, and our bank accounts. After 9/11, Americans fled airplanes for automobiles, a seemingly rational choice that killed an estimated 1,600 people through increased road accidents. We feared the spectacle while embracing the statistics. This is innumeracy. Not merely struggling with calculus, but lacking the numerical common sense to navigate reality itself. Picture holding $1 million in $100 bills. It would weigh about 22 pounds, heavy but manageable. Now imagine $1 billion, not 10 times heavier, but 22,000 pounds, the weight of an elephant. A trillion? That's 22 million pounds, roughly equivalent to 100 blue whales. Yet, when politicians debate trillion-dollar budgets, these numbers float past us like abstract poetry. We treat millions, billions, and trillions as interchangeable words for really big, missing that each step represents a thousandfold leap. Consider time as a measure of scale. 1 million seconds is about 11 and a half days. 1 billion seconds? Nearly 32 years. This difference, between less than 2 weeks and 3 decades, mirrors the gap between a millionaire and a billionaire, yet we use both terms almost interchangeably. 8 world leaders line up for a photograph. How many possible arrangements exist? Most guess between 50 and 500. The actual answer? 40,320. This is the multiplication principle. Each choice multiplies rather than adds to possibilities. 10 shirts, 8 pants, and 6 shoes yield 480 outfits, not 24. The birthday paradox reveals how poorly we grasp multiplying possibilities. How many people must gather before two likely share a birthday? Most guess around 183, half of 365. The actual answer? Just 23 people create better than even odds. With 50 people, probability exceeds 97%. We're asking whether any two people share any birthday, a vastly larger set of possibilities than matching your specific birthday. This same mathematics explains coincidences. Each American knows roughly 1,500 people. Through two intermediates, finding a mutual connection becomes nearly certain. The seemingly impossible becomes inevitable when possibilities multiply. Two friends flip a coin daily for lunch. Within 9 weeks, one will almost certainly win 5 straight times. Within 6 years, expect a 10-game streak. This isn't luck. It's mathematical inevitability. Pete Rose's 44-game hitting streak seems miraculous. Any specific player in any specific season has only a 0.000057 probability of achieving it. But multiply that across every player in every season throughout baseball history, and such streaks become statistically inevitable. The con is simple. Send 32,000 people a stock prediction, half rise, half fall. After the result, send the 16,000 winners a new split prediction. Repeat 6 times. You now have 500 people who've witnessed 6 consecutive correct calls. They'll pay handsomely for prediction 7, never realizing they're survivors of a filtering process, not witnesses to expertise. This is how investment newsletters, miracle cures, and psychic hotlines build reputations, showcasing hits while hiding misses. Mathematics carries authority. Dress nonsense in equations and it sounds credible. Astrology persists despite violating physics and statistics. Mars's gravitational pull at your birth is dwarfed by your obstetricians. Studies of 16,000 scientists and 6,000 politicians show zodiac signs distributed exactly as random chance predicts. Yet millions consult horoscopes daily, finding meaning in vague statements crafted to apply to anyone. We are pattern-seeking creatures in a random world, forever finding signals in noise. You test positive for a disease. The test is 98% accurate. You must have the disease, right? Wrong. And this misunderstanding kills people. Understanding conditional probability is perhaps the most important mathematical skill for navigating modern life, yet most people, including many doctors, get it backwards. Imagine a disease affecting 0.5% of the population. You test 10,000 people with a 98% accurate test. 50 people actually have the disease, and the test correctly identifies 49 of them. But 9,950 people don't have the disease, and the test falsely identifies 199 of them as positive. Out of 248 positive results, only 49 represent actual cases, a mere 20%. Your positive result means you have a 1 in 5 chance of actually having the disease, not 98%. When searching for something rare in a large population, even highly accurate tests produce more false positives than true positives. This is why mandatory drug testing destroys more innocent lives through false positives than it catches actual users, and why cancer screening programs require careful implementation. The same mathematical structure explains why blackjack differs from roulette. In roulette, each spin is independent. In blackjack, removed cards change future probabilities. Elementary schools teach multiplication tables, but not when to multiply. Students execute algorithms without understanding their purpose. They can perform long division, but don't grasp that driving 35 miles per hour means traveling 140 miles. Estimation skills, arguably more useful than precise calculation in daily life, receive minimal attention. By high school, most schools rush toward calculus while ignoring finite mathematics, combinatorics, graph theory, game theory, probability, topics increasingly essential for modern life. Students lacking foundational skills avoid quantitative courses entirely, graduating with degrees requiring no mathematical competence. But education alone doesn't explain innumeracy. Mathematics prompts impersonal questions: how many, how likely, how far. People overly focused on themselves find such questions distasteful, preferring personalized systems like astrology. Math anxiety particularly affects women, often told mathematical ability is masculine. This cultural programming creates a self-fulfilling prophecy. Believing you can't do math makes you avoid it, and avoidance ensures you never develop competence. Yet these same people navigate complex emotional landscapes and understand intricate legal arguments, both requiring sophisticated reasoning. The problem isn't ability, but confidence and practice. Scale blindness warps our perception of reality. The world's nuclear arsenal could give every person 10,000 pounds of TNT, enough to level a small building each. All human blood would fill a cube covering Central Park to under 20 feet deep. These anchors make the incomprehensible tangible. Without them, we panic about terrorism, killing roughly one American traveling abroad per 1.6 million annually, while ignoring heart disease, killing one in 167 yearly. We focus on dramatic stories because our brains evolved for narrative, not numbers. The optimal stopping problem reveals hidden mathematical depth. If meeting 25 romantic partners sequentially with no returns, reject the first 37%, about 9 people, then choose the first subsequent candidate better than all previous ones. This gives you a 37% chance of selecting optimally, far better than random choice. The same principle applies to house hunting, hiring, even parking. Society constantly faces trade-offs, requiring numerical understanding. Yet, we pretend otherwise. Kenneth Arrow proved no voting system perfectly translates individual preferences into collective ones. The prisoner's dilemma shows how rational individual choices produce terrible collective outcomes, appearing everywhere from business competition to environmental destruction. Every decision involves probability-based trade-offs, yet we pretend we can have perfect safety, unlimited freedom, zero risk, and maximum reward simultaneously. Statistical literacy should be universal. Understanding confidence intervals, distinguishing correlation from causation, grasping conditional probability, calculating expected value. Without these tools, we're defenseless against manipulation. Politicians cite statistics, knowing we can't evaluate them. Advertisers exploit our innumeracy, selling lottery tickets and schemes profiting from our ignorance. Beyond practical applications, embracing probability reveals something profound. Those who grasp number and chance see life's absurdities more clearly, the simultaneous puniness and grandeur of human existence. We are collections of atoms governed by quantum randomness, yet capable of understanding the very laws governing us. In a world shaped by algorithms and data, mathematical literacy isn't about solving equations, it's about seeing clearly. Your innumeracy isn't just personal limitation, it's a vulnerability others will exploit. In a democracy drowning in data, mathematical blindness isn't ignorance, it's abdication.